gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello. Happy Monday, everybody. After Sexy Liberal Prom Weekend here in Los Angeles. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. We're going to try to pull something out of our arse for today's show. Because I started drinking with Sexy Liberal Tour Director Roland on Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
And then finished yesterday afternoon with the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money and Roland.
Oh.
Drinking. So it's pretty much. And
much?
Then Saturday night, we drank half the night at the W Hotel after Sexy Liberal.
Yeah, well, you did. I left after a little bit because I was just.
You
I was wiped out.
See, you people aren't used to the road like Mama is.
This business we call show.
This business I call show. I'm a road warrior now.
Yeah, but look at yourself this morning.
I can't do this.
I haven't slept. I'm running entirely on Chardonnay and adrenaline. You know when I walk in and say coffee? Coffee will be key this morning.
Yes.
That it's been a long
weekend.
Can I just say, once again, we sit at the top of the hour, Jim Ward, Chris LaVoy, Jackie Schechter, rocked it on stage in front of 3,000 people.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Nice. And my friend was not helpful to Jackie. She's like, have you ever done this, Jackie? He's like, no. She's like, oh, I would vomit. All right, well, good luck.
Oh, my God.
We found her other line besides she will not twirl a baton. She will not call Eric Cantor bitch face.
She's got to maintain some journalistic integrity.
Yes. Jim Ward.
She may have to do actual news stories on him.
Yeah, Jim Ward was fabulous, but you had a number of little skits that you had Chris and Jackie interview you as your characters.
Right.
And so Jackie's like, yeah, I'm not going to call him bitch face. You do
that.
Yeah,
you
one.
Do that.
Yeah. So her journalistic integrity remains intact in the current news center. There you go. Wow, what a night. Do we have pictures up yet?
Not yet.
Okay. We're going to post a link because I don't know
right.
how to do the thing. But Rob Reiner, Lily Tomlin, our surprise guests, and they were just, that's all you have to say.
Yeah.
And then the rock star cheers are too loud. But they came out for panel.
Cool.
And yeah. So anyway, it was a good time was had, I think, by all. Sold out.
Yeah.
Oh, the Red Wing host and his sensei were there.
Yes.
He had a great time.
The guy next door, my friend was sitting next to him, and she said at first he was not laughing. He would just turn to her and go, okay, that was funny.
Damn it. He gave a nice review of the show on his show this morning.
He's a sweetheart.
Yes.
Yes, he was just sitting there scowling the whole time. Liberals succeeding at capitalism.
I think he's jealous.
Makes them crazy. He said that to me all week. You sold out the Pantages? I mean, seriously? I'm like, All right.
Okay, there were three empty seats. Somebody didn't show up.
2,700 seats. Anything less than 100 seats empty is a
sellout.
Considered, So anyway, and then unsolicited testimonial. The dump truck parents were there.
They were. I met them.
You know, to play Brandon's parents, right?
Yeah.
Brandon, that's his name. Brennan, something like that.
Did you say George Bush is a dump truck?
My birth is a dump
truck. Thank you, Brandon.
Awesome. He's not old. He was not old enough to be there. I don't know how old he is now.
He's 14 now.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, now they're good parents. Now a warning.
So
now they're not bringing him to Sexy Liberal.
What does he call the W
a
Hotel?
Warning. What's that?
What does he call the W Hotel? Probably not dump truck.
Hello, calling for a dump hotel. Brian and Nancy, Alpine, California. They're Brennan's parents. Steph, we're the official liberal college professor, bad parents of the Stephanie Miller Show, parents of Brennan, dump truck boy.
Yep.
Thanks for a great time at the Sexy Liberal in Los Angeles. Brian said you were even more beautiful in person. I tarted it up a little bit. I can see why Hal wanted to unzip that black dress. Everyone wanted to. Hal kept unzipping my dress all night long.
But then you photographed your
my cooter.
Parts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
on
who hasn't seen that? Who hasn't seen that in L.A.?
Yeah, cell phone.
And sometimes if you were doing your little skits and you'd slide off the stool.
Yeah. Yeah, Jackie Schechter.
Your Paris Hilton does.
Jackie Schechter tried to give me a little girl tip. She said, you can't show your cooter to all of us.
Yeah.
We don't. That's okay.
You Paris Hilton the entire pantage.
You know what? It's Roland's fault. I've never worn a dress before, and I'm entirely too spazzy to wear a dress.
Don't wear a dress again. When you're doing
he made
that.
Me. He's such a pimp. Come on, let's go. We need something a little different.
Yeah.
Tart it up for Daddy. Let's see. You and...
TMZ didn't even bother showing
no.
up.
No. Yeah, okay. Same we expect
whatever.
It.
What's this again? Seven Miller Scooter? Okay. You and Hal and John and Chris and John could not have been warmer or more gracious at the meet and greet.
Aw.
Right? We are... gracious.
Yeah.
And aren't we?
F and A.
I am warm.
Classy okay. With an F and K.
For being raised by wolves, you were very so sweet and kind to everybody in the crowd. Thanks for a great show. Well, showing you my cooter is my way of saying welcome.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for a great show and unforgettable evening. Oh, P.S. I think I prefer the non-biggity chicken is the funniest thing anyone has ever said. I think I said that about Chick-fil-A.
I don't remember. Biggity chicken.
I do prefer the non-biggity chicken. Make sure wherever you order your chicken, you ask for the non-biggity version.
Yes.
Who wants biggity chicken? And I help.
All right. And Jim is on a... Jim's like on a roll now.
Yeah, I know.
He came in asking why there's skulls on my...
Yeah, why? On your spinning shirt.
Yes, I said you probably bought it at Pole Pottery Barn, which is right next to Home Despot. So.
Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't stop. He's been going all weekend.
That begs the question, why are there skulls on your spinning shirt?
Because there's no recovering in this class.
Those are all the people who died in
your spinning
class.
Staying alive.
That's a memorial to everyone who's died.
They get your heart rate up to a billion.
I didn't sleep all weekend. I didn't sleep all weekend.
You can sleep when you're dead. Oh, you're dead. Okay, right. Good night. Yeah.
Right. Let me pull your skeletal remains off your spinning bike.
Get off of
and
there.
Put it on this promotional T-shirt.
Yeah.
People that survived are in great shape.
Sure.
Some of them, these are to our brethren. We wish them well. All right. Yeah, I didn't sleep all weekend. He said it's because my heart rate is so high from spinning.
It's like a hummingbird.
Oh, I can sleep, you guys. I can sleep, but oh my God. Yeah.
You bring your heart rate up and it never comes down. Mm. That's a problem.
And by the way, wow, do I need to go to the chiropractor this morning? I was already in bad shape before the show, and then, as you know, I throw myself around. I'm entirely too old for this sort of thing anymore, but I just... Wow, and I planned a whole opening. I was going to, a 50-foot Voldemort and then 20 Mary Poppinses, and that had to be canceled. The hot Leslie sketch with the Queen Elizabeth had to be canceled at the last minute. It was really disappointing. I was almost going to give refunds.
Uh-huh. No, but you got it on with some chicks in the audience.
I did? Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's what I... Well,
Is that the hot lesbian section?
Yes.
Of the show?
Oh, I play single ladies, and then I just go cop a bunch of cheap feels, and I make everyone else pay for it.
That's right.
As you do.
Call me a capitalist. All right. The opening ceremonies were... like a bad acid trip and impressive.
I really liked it. But
it's
then again...
It's always a Fellini film opening ceremonies, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, wait, a
well,
what?
But it was directed by Danny Boyle, who directed Trainspotting and 28 Days Later and Slumdog Millionaire. So you know you're going to get a visual spectacle with it, and you got one.
Yeah.
So...
And I love that it was actually a celebration of their healthcare system, much like we celebrate ours here in America.
Yeah.
We would.
If Mitt Romney gets in and adopts Paul Ryan's budget, it'll look much like that. Seniors trying to close gaping head wounds with vouchers.
Right.
We're
going
to celebrate our death care system.
It'll be very dark, very dark. All right, what is this? ABC's Wide World of Sport, but he wasn't in sport?
Yes.
It's a Romney tribute?
Yeah.
Jim McKay in this?
Yes.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of
sport, but it wasn't a sport.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. This is ABC's Wide World of
Sport, but it wasn't a sport.
Yeah, that's it.
Yay! Ah, it sucks to be Michael Platypus. What's his name? Phelps. He looks like a platypus to me. I just say platypus whenever I see him. He is built like a platypus, and yet he did not win.
He didn't win.
That must be upsetting.
And Mitt Romney they asked him, you know, who was going to win. Oh, Phelps. Phelps is going to win. And, of course, Obama.
Just a name he knew.
To complete his circle of
gaffes. And Obama says, I hope the American wins.
To complete his circle of, wow, Mitt Romney, international man of douche.
International man of car.
That was our first gold medal, an American getting their foot in their mouth and their head up their ass at the same time.
Right.
That was really sport. That was just something. Yeah. Wow, and he even made a couple more before he left. Something about looking out the back door of Downing Street or the backside of Downing Street.
I don't know if
they're just
do
like
that.
Mittens, go.
Just
go,
go
leave. Go, for
Mitt
God.
Romney's a dressage horse's ass.
Yeah, now even his wife probably hates him because he's like, you know. I don't. That's a chick sport. I don't watch. You know, You know, Brian, bitches be crazy. Oh, what that sport's about.
Oh, God.
About it. Yeah. So what? That was really spectacular, Mitt Romney, wasn't it? He just...
Wow.
What? Who has always played Charles Krauthammer on Friday? It was like he said all he had to do was finish the race, and it's like he tackled the guy in the lane next to him.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
even Karl Rove is like, I don't have enough dirty tricks to get this bull elected. Seriously?
Yeah, it's just really hard to, piss off our closest ally. But he managed to do it.
And yeah, nicely done.
I
nicely
don't
done.
See how...
Even the Russian judge gave him a very high mark.
You'll get a 10 in douche nozzle rate.
You just knew we again. Did. We won our first gold in douche nozzle rate.
Yeah. Great.
All right. And he's going to need all of David Koch Brothers' help. Oh, Rocky Mountain Mike. Why, look, he sent us a new song.
Mike, tell us why you became involved with the Tea Party movement.
We want to take our country back.
Who do you want to take our country back from?
We want to take it back from a Congress and a president who's forgotten that government derives its power from the consent of the governed and instead is at the beck and call of special interests and corporations.
That's what confounds the media. We are not being run by a George Soros-type figure.
Okay, have either of you ever heard the name David Koch?
I'm sorry?
David Koch. Have you ever heard the name Koch Industries?
Are you talking about Coca-Cola?
K-O-C-H. Koch Industries is the second largest private company in the country. And they could buy and sell George Soros 10 times over. Controlled Tea Party candidates in excess of $40 million. Are the Koch brothers average Americans whose voices are being drowned out by lobbyists and special interests? I'm confounded.
Yeah, Rocky Mountain Mike.
That was from, those clips were from the newsroom.
Yes.
And that was, that show just keeps getting better and better every week.
I've got to
People are really divided on it. Some people think it blows chunks.
I don't think it does.
Maybe they'll handle.
I've only seen parts. All right.
No, it's a really, really good show, and I highly recommend it.
All Aaron Sorkin.
Yep.
18 minutes after, you produce this show, so... 18 minutes after the hour, my taste is suspect. Whatever. Okay, 18 minutes after the hour. Fire up the grill. We're going to meet our T-Bone next. Our new producer.
Crow, by the way.
Our new associate producer, T-Bone's coming in next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You can't turn her off. Not in the middle of turning her on. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Not recently.
Yeah, no. Since the early 90s. All right, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, except I do like me some T-Bone. Give me some porn music so I can objectify my new associate producer. It's our T-Bone, everybody.
Yeah.
Good morning, Mama.
T-Bone. T-Bone is the new Rebecca.
That's right.
It's like they stretched her out and gave her some hormones.
You are wearing that T-shirt very well.
Thank you.
They can tell you that's their job is just to wear something tight.
He's got Captain America's undershirt as well as the
pants. Yeah, that's Captain America.
I want to match the set.
Yeah.
So wear something tight, show up for Mom, that's all you need to
It's hard to think like that, 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, he's just getting used to these
his
hours.
His name is Travis Bowen, he's our new associate producer, call screener, he'll be taking
greatest
your...
Greatest porn name ever. Oh, Mama and Papa Bowen be so proud.
Now, Travis, you came to the Sexy Liberal Saturday night, at how many points were you rethinking this decision, this life choice?
I was just afraid you were going to fall off that stool.
Yeah.
You kept sliding down.
Yeah.
I thought you really hurt your hip at the beginning of the show.
You're like, that's because I'm such a good actress. You see what I did there? See?
Mm-hmm.
Ow.
Like, I do. I feel like Samuel Jackson in Unbreakable. I'm just crumbled.
That was her good hip.
I need the doctor from Death Becomes Her to put me back together.
Oh, that was funny.
Yeah. Get some Bondo.
I need some spray paint.
You telling me it doesn't hurt when I do this?
I'm going to have Jackie come over later with a... so, you know, the spray paint.
Spray paint.
Okay.
She'll lock your job.
Yeah, slacker me up, exactly. Anyway, did you ever call Chris at any point and go, okay, you know what, she's taking a picture. Seriously? I'm working for that?
I think my mom was going, oh, Travis.
Oh, Travis.
Oh, dear.
Your father
you
and
made
I.
Made some poor choices in your life.
Travis Louise Bone.
Mr. and Mrs. Bone must be appalled. Yeah. Welcome to my mom's world. Welcome, Travis. We're very excited.
Very excited to be here, too.
I understand, despite your ridiculous name, you come highly qualified.
Well, thank you very much. I have some reporting experience and a little bit of news experience, so yeah.
Awesome.
Really excited to be here.
And that T-shirt really is fabulous. It's like Captain America's undershirt that goes with the underpants.
Underpants. Yep.
Exactly.
By the end of the week, I'll have you wearing the underpants as well.
Shh, don't tell anyone.
Okay. There he goes. Travis Bone. Thanks,
Yay,
T-Bone.
Thank you, Travis.
That is a tasty, tasty T-Bone, isn't it?
There you go.
He has bigger boobs than I do. Is that allowed? What's happening?
I don't know.
All right. So lots to get to. 1-800-STEF-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Could you believe it was like the opening Olympics turned into a Jim Ward skit. The Queen, the actual Queen.
I thought that was incredibly cheesy.
I didn't see it.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
I have not enjoyed a comedy skit with a Queen in it since Michelle and Marcus Bachman.
There you go. And the Corgis were there too.
Who?
The Corgis.
Oh, the Corgis.
Yes, the Corgis, Monty and Holly.
I didn't know they had names.
Monty.
I just pulled a story this morning. The Queen has been very impressed with herself, with her performance. She probably has a long list of writers, like longer than J-Lo's, yeah. You know.
And did you see the picture of her as Great Britain was walking out, you know, in the Parade of Nations? She was there picking her nails.
Cuticles! What?
What? I missed it.
Really
oh,
didn't
bloody
look like
hell.
She wanted to be there. It was
She's like,
sad.
All right, you know what? Yeah. I did the skit.
Can All I right. do that
she did agree.
Now,
she did agree to the lesbian octopusy sketch with me Saturday night. If I hadn't thrown my hip out, it would have been comedy gold at the Fantasia.
Never.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
She was
octopusy.
All right, Corky in New York. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Corky, welcome. Hello, Corky.
Corky.
All right.
Corky Sinclair.
Corky's listening. Corky's watching something else
right.
now. All right, Don in Fresno. Hey, Don, welcome. Hello, Don.
Good morning.
Good
How
morning. Good. Morning. Go ahead.
The reason why I wanted to call, I wanted to finish up from Friday. I called earlier. But this debate, we need to change this gun control debate. And we need to change it that you're either for the shooter or you're for the victims. Mm-hmm. And by saying that, I mean, if you don't want to change the gun right laws, then you're for the shooter. And I'm start calling them on the carpet, Stephanie. You know, if you're either going to support the shooter or you're going to support the victims. And if you are a gun rights advocate and you support the victims, then you should change the gun right laws. You know.
Well, yeah. Also, nobody needs a 100-round clip.
Right.
I mean, the Army doesn't even have that.
Yeah. You guys must have enjoyed the moment I was able to turn to Rob Reiner and say, have I ever told you that American president...
Yeah.
Even Rob Reiner's like, oh,
stop
no!
it.
Oh.
I don't want to hear those quotes on your show ever again.
I don't want to hear the same thing ever again.
People want leadership, Mr. President. Right? In the absence of genuine leadership, they'll listen.
And Hal
Rob Reiner's head explodes like in Mars Attacks.
And Hal tried to get in Spinal Tap, and I would have added Princess Bride. But
yeah, I know. All right.
I would have added
no,
Misery.
No, but I was saying about how did we Misery? Get here where yeah, we can't even talk agree. About gun control. And that's where I was saying, I want my Andrew Shepherd moment. I'm sending the assault weapons ban to the floor. I'm Andrew Shepherd, and I am... Okay, you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Mm-hmm. And as we all know, we ended up blaming the true source of the problem, that is Lily Tomlin, and all of her gory movies. All her gory, violent films that she's so well known for.
Sure.
9 to 5, the director's cut.
Yeah, listen.
Outrageous Fortunes.
There's a scene that was edited out of all of me that is really... wow!
Where okay. Steve Martin actually splits in two.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, well, Lily Tomlin splits him in two with an axe.
Wow.
29 minutes after the hour. I'm a good friend. I get to see the cutting room floor stuff.
Right.
Literally cutting room. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stop it.
I can't. I'm gay for Jamie.
No, that's not a thing. You can't be gay for just one person, unless you're a lady and you meet...
Stephanie Miller.
Oh,
We get the best lines from 30 Rock.
There's paperwork. There's an oral exam. No. Oh, see what I did there.
Yes.
I forgot it's time for refund. Okay, I'm ready.
Are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine. Nobody help me.
Okay. You know, it says rude up on the screen
yes,
there. Okay.
I see that. Okay. I thought you were referring to me,
no,
as usual. No. And Eric Bollert coming up, as usual,
that's
at the
right.
Top of next hour to co-host Right Wing World. And also...
The White House called.
Yeah. You know.
Yes.
Wow.
We'll be talking to Michelle Flournoy.
Yes.
She's a foreign policy expert with the campaign. So, there we go. Mm-hmm.
They must have heard the class on parade on stage at the Pentagon. So, like, we must talk to her immediately.
Yes.
All right, let's get rid of
it. It's Lee Poppet, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, rudeness.
Good morning.
Jim was just, I don't even know when this was, but where was this latest Mitt Romney gaffe? He asked some women in Philadelphia?
It was in Pittsburgh.
Oh, Pittsburgh.
Yeah. So, why aren't you cooking in the kitchen?
Huh?
Some words to that effect.
Really?
There you go. He's locked down that chick vote again, Ruth.
Oh, wow.
Wow, wow. And this is not to mention, you know, insulting the Palestinians this morning.
Or oh, he did?
Yeah.
I just got in. What happened?
Let's see. He was speaking at a fundraiser for Jewish donors in Jerusalem. Sheldon Adelson by his side.
Of course.
And
yes.
Mitt's asked, as we know. and Romney said, as you come here and you see the GDP per capita, for instance, in Israel, which is about $21,000, and compare that with the GDP per capita just across areas managed by the Palestinian Authority, which is more like $10,000 per capita, you note such a dramatically stark difference in economic vitality. Without noting, of course, you know, that the severe sanctions on the Palestinians might be, you know, hindering some of their personal wealth and the GDP.
I don't, maybe you didn't get the memo. He doesn't care about the very poor. Yeah.
Well, God, that is just stunning foreign policy.
Yeah, only he could go and just talk about just numbers, just financial stuff, not even,
But those stinky people over there, they have much less money.
Well, you he compared it to the United States and Mexico, you see, because those things are analogous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because of all those sanctions we have against the Mexicans.
Right.
Yikes.
Oh, my God.
Yikes. Jim, I was looking for the next gaffe. This one, Romney visits the Western Wall. He was met by a rabbi. I'm like, oh, no, don't tell some jokes. So a rabbi and a Mormon. Into the wall.
Walk out to bar. Well, of course, we wouldn't do that.
Yeah, he chatted with him for a minute before, you know, you take the slip
before
of paper.
Before he tried to convert him?
Yeah.
Baptize him into his own religion?
You know, if you should die anytime soon, I could help you find a better religion.
You're looking kind of peaked. Why don't I just baptize you now?
So weird.
I love that he went on this tour of Israel with his wealthy Jewish donors too.
Yeah.
So it was like you know Sheldon Adelson by his side as they go to the Wailing Wall.
There's a balanced solution that he's taking for Israel.
Sheldon is of course famous for saying he wished he hadn't fought for the American army and fought for Israel instead. Okay, why don't you just stay there?
Yeah.
You
exactly.
Know, and stop screwing up our country.
Yeah.
It's not like there's any tax money we're getting from him.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So he was doing, you know, the thing you take a slip of paper and write a note and put it in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Romney put his right hand on the wall and bowed and prayed for about 20 seconds. Just if only I could see what was in that thought bubble, Jim, probably that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could.
No, there's just a dollar sign
I could baptize
in there.
People.
In the bubble.
Well, you know,
I don't want to know what he wrote on a piece of paper. Someone will find it and it'll be something like that.
Sort of,
you know.
What the heck is Kreplach?
Yeah. He probably put 100 in there and said, don't worry, I'll take care of you.
Exactly. Oh, boy. And we're looking forward to Poland, aren't you? God knows what's going to happen in Poland.
Oh, yeah. I hope that he knows so many Polish jokes that he thinks are hilarious.
Yeah, I don't.
I hope the first time he sees a light bulb, he just can't help himself.
Can that be the first thing? You know, you Polacks aren't as stupid as I've heard. What? What did I say? You're not that dumb. What? Yeah, he'll say something like that, Jim, like your trees are all the right height. It's very nice here. I can see why Hitler invaded. Something. What? What did I say?
He'll talk about, you know, despite all the bad things that happened at Auschwitz, it was a very productive camp. they knew
very
how
profitable.
To do industry here.
Yeah.
Yikes.
They produced.
I'm Jewish. I can make Jewish jokes. Just want to put that out
there. Okay.
By the way, so great piece on Michelle Bachmann. You say, when is Michelle Bachmann not on a witch hunt? So when the dynamic duo of Republican Tartary, Representative Michelle Bachmann and Louis Gohmert worked together on an issue. He was one of the people that signed on to this ridiculous Muslim brotherhood is whatever. Infiltrating the State Department, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And she's just always, we go back to 2008 with the, the media should look at Congress and, I guess come up with a list of pro and anti-American members of Congress.
Right.
And then going back to 2005 when she was a state representative and in Minnesota, and she wanted to get the David Horowitz's Academic Bill of Rights passed as law in Minnesota, where it prevented college professors from bringing their political views into the classroom. Because, evil liberal professors were obviously turning everybody in her district liberal.
Yes. Yes, of course. By the way, you were talking about the Romney campaign strategy. I love one of your lines. You said in 2008, apparently you weren't wisely rejecting the very policies that Romney now advocates. You were just the marks of a socialist con artist. Vote for Romney because he thinks you're stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, that really is what he's running on. Like, well, you got it wrong with this black guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing is it's to the point where it's like insulting you for having dared put this man in power. It wasn't that, he said he was going to do most of the things that he's doing right now or is actually the stuff he said he was going to do. So maybe we made a wise choice. It was, no, we're idiots. We are all idiots, especially the ones that are now switching over to or doubting Obama.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm thinking of not voting for him or voting for Romney.
Yeah. Well, sorry, because that was a shiver. We paused for a shiver up the back of our spine.
Yes.
I think that it's interesting what's considered negative campaigning, because to me, the stuff about Romney, it's all fair game, right?
Yeah.
When you're running on your record as whether it's a businessman or a governor of Massachusetts, how is that not fair game?
Well, exactly. And I mean, I'll even go further that when, there's been a lot of comparison in the media between, Obama's line taken out of context. If you have a business, you didn't build that, that lie that we know is a lie.
Which is actually Elizabeth Warren's.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it was in fact a Mitt Romney speech too. But but I've seen comparisons between that and when they're trying to create some kind of balance in the media between when the Obama campaign jumped on Romney's, I like firing people who provide me services. And I thought that's not really a fair comparison because what Romney's talking about is firing people.
Yes.
Yes, so it seems like some area of fair game. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not really out of context if he's actually talking about firing people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then I thought, wow, so he has this whole string of gaffes in England. And then speaking of this election being about the top 1%, then he meets with all the crooks behind the LIBOR scandal.
Right.
That's he had a fundraising
a
fundraising reception, an exclusive dinner with rubbing elbows with the bankers pretty much all behind the country's LIBOR scandal. Netted $2 million, though.
Yeah.
Well, of course. I'm sure they have some carrying around cash, the LIBOR guys.
Yeah, I love the last line here. It says, the Times reported that he, quote, steered clear of the LIBOR scandal over interest rates in remarks at the event. Yeah, because that would just be rude. That would be bad form.
Yes. You don't want to remind them about how they brought down the world economy. You don't want to do that.
That's bad form when they're giving you $2 million.
Really bad form there.
Yeah. All right. Rudeness, great stuff as always. See you next week, honey.
Bye.
All
bye.
Right. Had to break early because, the White House called.
Well, the Obama campaign. I don't know if she's calling from the White House.
It
was the actual house called us, building itself.
Yes. All right.
Is drunk dialing us.
All right. 43 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Shake it up.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Michelle Flournoy is the top advisor, one of the top advisors to the Obama campaign. She joins us now. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good. Be honest now. Did you script Mitt Romney's campaign, his tour overseas? Is he working for the Obama White House?
I'm afraid we can't take credit for that.
I'm like, oh my God, is he working for the Obama campaign? Seriously, that could not have gone much worse, could it?
No, it's been pretty rocky. I mean, for a trip that was really designed to showcase Romney as someone who could lead on the world stage, it's gone sort of wrong from the beginning. You know, in London, he openly criticized or doubted the readiness of the British Olympics and drew a rebuke directly from Prime Minister Cameron, yep, and the London mayor.
Well, directly from pretty much everyone,
and
the entire country.
The British tabloids were pretty ruthless. And then in Israel, you know, he focused on fundraisers and political statements as opposed to really laying out, you know, his vision for the relationship, where when pressed, there's really not a lot of difference. The Obama administration has had an incredibly strong record in support of Israel's security. And so, you know, for a trip that was supposed to highlight him on the world stage, I think what it has done is questions is this guy ready to really to represent the United States in the world, to be commander-in-chief?
Well, I mean, that's exactly it. The reason candidates do these trips overseas is to try to show they're ready to lead on the world stage. And it really was almost, I mean, when you have people like Charles Krauthammer and Karl Rove just shaking their heads on TV, I mean, you know it's bad, right?
It is, and especially when you contrast it with then Senator Obama's trip,
yep,
in 2008. I mean, first of all, it was very substantive. At every stop, he gave a substantive foreign policy speech, being very careful not to openly criticize the current administration, but really laying out a detailed vision for the American people of where he wanted to take U.S. leadership in the world and what policies he would put in place. He also, I think, importantly, took the time to visit American troops, mm-hmm, who were deployed abroad. He went to Iraq and Kuwait, Afghanistan. He sat down with troops, understanding that part of his role, if elected president, would be as stewardship of the military and as commander-in-chief. And it's really striking that Romney has not chosen to actually go to take the time to go visit with troops in Afghanistan.
Yeah, and Michelle, I was just going to bring that up. What was it, 200,000 people in Berlin for that, you know, widely,
yes,
you know, praised speech,
right,
that President Obama gave? I was just thinking that. I thought, boy, that contrast is pretty stunning. I mean, and you brought up that, you know, he's over there with Sheldon Adelson and his fundraisers in Israel, and we were just saying, first of all, he has a Romney advisor says the president's not Anglo-Saxon enough or doesn't, you know, understand the Anglo-Saxon tradition. Sheldon Adelson is on record as saying, I wore the army, or, you know, the uniform of the United States. Unfortunately, I wish I'd been in the Israeli army. I mean, and do you hear that in the press anywhere? I mean,
yes. I mean, the Romney campaign has denied this comment about Anglo-Saxon tradition. The Telegraph, the London Telegraph that reported it, has stood behind this and said, look, this was a Romney advisor. He basically bordered on a slur against the president.
Yeah.
He said,
yeah,
you know, we understand the Anglo-Saxon heritage. The White House, you know, doesn't understand the history of the special relationship.
Wow.
Sort of implying that somehow the president, you know, doesn't understand the special relationship with Britain. And I think, again, the president's record speaks for itself. He has been such a leader for this country on security and foreign policy. And, you know, while everybody talks about this election being about the economy, and it certainly is, people have to remember that big foreign policy and decisions, like the decision that George Bush made to go to a war in Iraq, have huge economic implications.
Yeah.
I mean, the Iraq War drove so much of the accumulated debt in Bush's 8 years.
And not putting them on the books, Michelle. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, and the Bush tax cuts for the top 1%, most economists say, are, you know, almost entirely responsible for this deficit, right?
So I would hope that people would weigh, as they go to the polling or the voting booth, what kind of commander-in-chief will this person be? Where will he take this country in terms of foreign policy, committing our troops, and so forth? Because that, too, will have implications not only for our security, but also for our economic health.
Well, you know, and Michelle, I think that's a really, really cogent point that, you know, the fact is that he's over there with Sheldon Adelson, and, you know, who's on record as advocating for war with Iran. I mean, and can you imagine if a top fundraiser of the president said, I wore the, you know, uniform of the American Army, unfortunately? I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah,
you know,
it is it's appalling.
It's like Jack Kennedy. I wish I had Sam feel the Japanese.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it really is stunning. And Romney always, almost on every subject, Michelle talks about, I'll just do things differently than the president on foreign policy as well. What does that mean? I mean, what would he actually do?
The problem is we don't know. I mean, he said, for example, on Israel, well, I'd just do the opposite of what President Obama did. Well, look what President Obama's done. He's brought assistance to Israel to historic highs. He has guaranteed their qualitative military edge. He stood up for them in the UN when the Palestinians tried to sort of bypass the peace process and impose, you know, statehood. He ordered the rescue of Israeli diplomats who were under siege in Cairo. I mean, time and time again, he has stood by our commitment to Israel's security. So when Romney says he's going to do the opposite, what does that mean? When you press him, he can't say.
Yeah. Well, take Afghanistan, for instance. He was like, he's been all over the place. What is his plan on Afghanistan?
Well, he was initially for the transition timeline, and then he started criticizing it and was against it. And then in the VFW speech last week, he surprised us all again by saying, well, actually, I support it. When pressed on, well, what exactly would you do differently in Afghanistan, you know, other than saying, well, I'd listen to the generals, you know, he doesn't have much else to say. So again, it's very hard to know what he would do differently. The truth is the transition plan that we have put together in Afghanistan has the support of the input of the commanding officers on the ground. It also has the support and input of 49 allies, NATO and other, who are participating in the international security force there. So this is a very well-developed, well-vetted consensus position.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Michelle, it almost seems like you're implying that Mitt Romney has been inconsistent on an issue.
That's
outrageous.
Yeah. I think a few times. And again, I just his incredible unwillingness to really lay out his vision and exactly how his policies would differ from the president on national security. He's really not allowing the American people to understand his position and to make a judgment on whether he'd be a good commander in chief.
Yeah, he was obviously over in Israel. He said things like this, which it makes me a little bit nervous.
It is my firm conviction that the security of Israel is in the vital national security interest of the United States.
And yet his top advisors like John Bolton and other, I mean, they openly are advocating for war with Iran, correct?
Well, again, you know, they have been very bellicose in their rhetoric. It is true, and they seem to imply, but they won't come out and say it, that they would be more willing to, at this point in time, use force with regard to Iran's nuclear weapons program. The president has been very clear that our policy is to prevent Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. He's been very clear that all options are on the table, but he's also been clear that now is not the time, that we need to give time and space to the sanctions, which are the hardest hitting in the history of any country, give time for them to work. A new round was just put in place in July. Those are starting to take effect. It's crippling Iran's economy. We want to see how that affects Iran's calculus and whether they come back to the negotiating table with greater seriousness. Because ultimately, it's in everybody's interest to solve this problem diplomatically if possible. But all options are on the table. The president's been very clear about that.
I got to tell you, Michelle, I was having a George W. Bush flashback with Mitt Romney. It was just a string of gaffes and then saber rattling and bluster and all the stuff that, you know, that we remember from the Bush administration.
It's true, and when you look at his foreign policy advisors, 17 of the 24 who are listed on his campaign site were Bush officials, and a lot of his rhetoric when he does lay out a position is sort of harking back to the policies that we saw, and I think in many cases failed in the Bush administration.
The Bush years we all remember so warmly. All right, Michelle, thank you so much for your time this morning. I hope to talk to you again soon as the campaign rolls along. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
There she goes, Michelle Flournoy.
Romney, the foreign policy expert, has also criticized Islamic countries for voting in Islamic leaders.
Oh, yeah. How dare they?
But what? He wants Mormon elders to be...
What? Huh?
Wow. Is there anyone he hasn't pissed off this week? I don't. It's, that was almost.
Well, the whole Palestinian
almost
thing.
A perfect record.
But, you know, comparing the, you know, the GDP between Israel and Palestine is Palestine being occupied by,
yeah,
by Israel.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Just more stinky poor people.
Yeah.
To him. Well, okay. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, all right. The pictures are up from Saturday Night Sexy Liberal at the Pantages on our...
Stephanie Miller Facebook.
And Stephanie Miller Twitter?
I tweeted the,
yeah?
the
okay.
link out.
There's a link with tons of pictures of Lily Tomlin, Rob Reiner, Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and I on stage Saturday Night Sexy Liberal sold out in Los Angeles.
It's a picture of you taking a picture of your...
My cooter, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I look pretty slutty in all of them. Okay. Jim Ward, Chris LaVoy, Jackie Schechter rocked it, opened the house
Thank
for
you.
Us. Crazy, crazy good. This may be the oddest love letter we've ever gotten.
Okay.
Andy in Houston, this was actually about Friday's show.
Oh.
Our, you know, regular radio TV show.
Right.
Thank God for DVR, best show ever. Still laughing so much my vaginal mesh device is failing. Okay. All right. Well, good. Okay. All right. So, anyway, you can check out. And then we'll get them up on the .coms whenever we can get a chance.
That's
the pictures
right.
from Saturday night.
Yep.
Okay. In the meantime, Kira, it's Monday. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America.
He gets to follow that.
Eric Bollard.
Eric Vaginal Mesh Bollard, they call him.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters. Oh. Who do we love?
Bollard.
We love him. Us, not so much. He goes slumming every Monday. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
Great tweets, as always. You know, you always pick up stuff a lot of other people miss. But, you know, you say Romney's negative to positive ad ratio, 5-1. Obama's is 2-1. So, of course, the New York Times runs an A1 story about how negative Obama's campaign is.
Right. God.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, you know, the story itself, it was on Sunday, was, you know, fairly straightforward. You know, try to recapsule the, you know, campaign, try to keep it front page news when it's really not a lot going on. But it's, I hate this narrative that Obama ran, you know, hope and change in 2008, and now he's running so negative. Or, you know, an incumbent might run a different campaign than a challenger 4 years ago. But within the context of the Times' own story, and talking about all the risk Obama runs by running this very negative campaign.
Yeah.
And then in the story itself, it points out that those ratios, 5-1, and that's without, you know, incorporating the Karl Rove Super PAC ad, 5-1, Romney has run an almost endlessly negative campaign. So why is the, you know, why is the
right.
New York Times focusing
and
on Obama's,
you know,
negative campaign?
And Eric, I guess as I've said over and over, I don't think all negative, quote-unquote, you know, campaigning is the same. When
right.
you are running strictly on your record as a businessman, as, you know, governor of a state, I mean, how are those records not fair game to talk
about?
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And I, you know, I don't think anyone can point to, you know, Obama campaign ads that are slashing and vicious and making stuff up. But based on the recent Build That, you know, controversy, we can certainly point to Republican ads that are based on blatant falsehoods. But
yep.
again, the press doesn't hold those two accountable. So, you know, if Obama isn't running Halo ads, he's apparently this negative, you know, slash attack campaign.
Right.
And that's always the double standards for Democrats. The Republican, the Beltway press is in love with Republican hardball and thinks it's super savvy and smart. And when Democrats fight back, you know, the press freaks out.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And you and I talked about that last week with them calling it, you know, swift boating of Romney. It's like, no. Swift boat was based on lies. This is, you know, you may think you may not like it, but it's based on facts.
Uncomfortable and pleasant questions about your professional past is not swift boating. It's not swift boating when it's true.
Right. I love your, you say, kind of sums it up. Washington Post, Romney's problem? Americans don't like him as much as Obama polls say. Yeah, I guess there's not that many ways to say that, right?
There isn't, and to its credit, Washington Post ran that piece, but that really is what the press is trying to avoid. And what you read the analysis over and over again, it's Obama versus Obama. You know, he's not going to get as many Hispanic votes as 2008. He's not going to get as many Jewish votes as 2008. He's not going to get as many young voters as 2008. He's not running against himself.
Right.
He's running against another candidate who's having trouble getting people to vote for him and to like him. But all the analysis, because it's so much easier and lazier, it's sort of Obama versus Obama, and let's pretend he's not running against a weak Republican candidate.
Well, yeah, you're right.
You can say it's close and it's tied, et cetera,
right.
et cetera.
Right. And you know, as you say, it's like the other thing is it is different running 4 years later as an incumbent. You obviously, yes, as he said on the trail, yeah, this, you can tell people this is still about hope and change.
Right.
You know, obviously he didn't know he was going to run up against such unprecedented obstructionism, right?
Right, absolutely not. And, you know, he was actually naive, thinking, you know, I'll have dinner with these conservatives and we'll all get on board and we'll pass legislation like W. Bush did in 2001. Wasn't going to happen, didn't happen. And the idea that, you know, Democrats are supposed to sort of roll over and not fight back and not play tough during the campaign. It's one of the Beltway Press's favorite double standards, I think.
And all you needed was one Eric Bollard tweet to sum up Romney in London. You just said, I thought London was supposed to be the easy part of Romney's foreign trip.
Yeah.
Hashtag poor Mitt. I mean, really, we couldn't have scripted this better, could we?
It was pretty amazing. When you're going on a trip for diplomatic purposes and your first, you know, a couple hours, you make these sort of huge diplomatic gaffes. It was definitely a problem, and he's recovered, I think, since then. But, you know, this was supposed to be his great, you know, unveiling on a world stage, and it didn't go as planned.
That's so cute. Recovered, by which you mean he's made it through an entire morning without another gaffe? Is that?
Yeah.
All right. And, Eric, real quick, because this is so important, before we dive into right-wing world, boy, you put in the one fact that I haven't seen anybody, as you say, still missing from the Aurora coverage, gun violence context.
Yeah.
Each year, roughly 30,000 Americans die from gun violence, or 300,000 over the last decade. And, I mean, it really is stunning that you know, the press just kind of, as you say, they've taken the lazy NRA mantra, you know, guns don't kill people, you know, people do. And, like, this is just nothing more to see here, right?
It's sad, but yeah, I think, you know, the Aurora coverage, obviously the event got a lot of coverage, and I think the way the congresswoman getting shot got a lot of coverage. A, she was tied to Congress. This was tied to Hollywood. There's sort of, and they were particularly gruesome events. In between that, though, these sort of random public mass shootings are very common, sadly common, and those are sort of treated as 4-6 hour stories, and there's very rarely this idea that there's a connectivity to all of this and there's an epidemic in America. And I looked in the wake of the Aurora shooting to find out how many times was that very specific statistics, 30,000 gun deaths a year, referenced. And it was basically invisible from the coverage. Virtually the only place I could find reference to it were in opinion pieces about gun control.
Yeah. Well,
is it controversial? Why is that fact not inserted in news stories? 30,000 people die every year.
Yeah, can you imagine any other cause and that wouldn't be getting more coverage? I mean, it really is amazing. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what it's doing. Kimberly Guilfoyle on Hannity.
This is a failing report card.
Don't hold it up, Kimberly.
If you're into that and you want America to fail and you don't like American exceptionalism, then by all means, you know, I respect your right to choose and to vote. Put him back in. Or if you'd like someone who actually has solid business experience, you know, business acumen, then put in somebody like Romney. Give him a chance.
Jesus.
Wow.
Her voice is annoying enough to begin with, and then the stuff she says.
So basically, if you hate America, if you hate America, vote for Obama.
Yeah. So we've talked about this before, and this is, you know, they are so far out on the ledge. It's not that Obama has disappointed. I don't like his policies. He's made us weak. It's you know, he's trying to destroy America. Why is he ahead in the polls? Why can't your guy win by 19 points? I mean, you know, there's this huge disconnect between this right-wing bubble where Obama is a monster. He hates America. He's a narcissist. He's a Marxist. He's all of these awful things. And then you take a step out of the bubble and, oh, you know, he's ahead in all the swing states. And, oh, people find him 20%, you know, 20 points higher, more likable than Romney, like we just talked about.
Yeah.
It really is this very dense bubble where they convince himself he's this monster, but I honestly don't know what they're going to do on election night if he wins, because they've laid out this blueprint where not only should he not win, he should be in jail.
Yeah.
Why are voters listening
to hear he's a communist, a Nazi, and a liberal.
Yeah. Exactly. Brian Kilmeade, just an opening shot against Britain, just in case Romney's president, you better back off.
Cause it was like a candid response to a security question. And
the British press.
And the British press to go on his town with it. I think the British press better back off, and so should the officials. This guy could be president.
Yeah, you better back off, Rupert Murdoch's paper in Britain. You better back off, future President Mitt Romney. Wow.
There was an interesting sort of knee-jerk reaction when Romney got in trouble and the British press went after him. And we saw it there. We saw some right-wing blogs. They started, you know, denouncing Britain, you know, sort of like they did France during the Iraq War. I mean, they will denounce anyone that comes into their territory. And so we saw a fair amount of UK bashing because they had the audacity to point out that Mitt Romney had sort of put his foot in his mouth. So it's this sort of almost feral animal instinct. They will lash out at anyone, even if it's America's closest ally.
Telegraph, you know, is a conservative leaning paper.
It's Rupert Murdoch's. Is it one of the papers that criticize him, Rupert Murdoch's?
Yeah, exactly.
Which makes it doubly
funny. It's not the Guardian.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Eric Bowler remains in the sidecar. We continue Right Wing World after this on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
Rock on. 21 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Eric Bollert from Media Matters rejoins us to continue Right Wing World. Greg Gutfeld on the 5. Huh? Normally they're so feminist over there.
Yeah. You know how dull the Olympics are when you have to do the women angle. Like, there, okay, we get it. There are women on the Olympic teams. Woo-hoo-hoo.
I hope you sleep on the couch all week.
The only thing I care about is that the volleyball team, the American girls, got to keep their skimpy uniforms.
They did?
Yeah, there's more fabric in a pot holder than what they wear. That's America.
What a dick.
Well, Jim! Cheney. Dick Cheney.
Yes, that's what I mean. Richard.
Yes. Yeah. That's that's really, the whole world's just a Hooters to Greg Gutfeld, I guess.
Yeah, and if you go to Media Matters, I mean, Greg has expressed deep issues many, many times in this regard, and it's kind of creepy to watch him broadcast it on a news channel on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And that's what passes as their, you know, their public policy forum show.
Maybe they ought to change the name of the 5 to 5 Mommy Issues, anyone? All right, Rush. I got a man giggle out of Eric Bowler. All right, Rush Limbaugh. Oh, no, all the other noted feminists.
Right. One of primary reasons of feminism, Undeniable Truth of Life, number 24, feminism, what written by me, feminism was established so as to permit easier access to the mainstream unattractive women. Pure and simple.
Wow. He's really not in a position to compliment.
That's Mel Bottle, Rush Limbaugh, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Where do you even start there?
He's also a word you just said.
Yes, that word. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Let's just leave it.
But remember, if you remember back to the spring, there is no war on women within the Republican Party, conservative circles.
Right.
There is no effort, you know, continuous effort to put down women or degrade them or anything. That's all a figment of the mainstream imagination. These are just Come on. Yeah. I mean, it's hour by hour with these guys.
Oy, thanks. All right, Stuart Barney, Fox and Friends.
We need a robust private sector growth area. That's what we need, a robust private sector. Mm. Now, that's the exact opposite of all government all the time that we're getting from this administration.
Right. And speaking as an American, I'm appalled that this...
completely ignoring the fact, of course, that economists have pointed out, if government workforce had stayed as robust as it had been under Bush, the unemployment would be a lot lower. But under Obama, the size of the government has shrunk. But, you know, the Fox won't take that into account.
That's
they won't give Obama any credit for cutting the size of the government. In fact, they penalize them. For doing what they want.
Yeah, and I mean,
win.
And again, you know, when they, speaking of taking the president out of context, I mean, when he talked about the private sector
because,
you know, according to most economists, because of the stimulus and other things he's done, the private sector is doing, if you look at any graph, is doing much better. It's these Republican governors, as you said, that have cut all these public jobs.
That's right.
All right, and we finish with Laura Ingraham and Bill O'Reilly on, is this on the... House of Homophobic Chicken, what's it called?
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A.
Not Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A.
The majority of Americans probably generally agree with this particular CEO.
Really?
So he was asked about it. He says guilty as charged.
This is an opinion that he holds,
well,
and now his politics try to hurt his business. I think
that's
bad.
Apparently you can't have that opinion and run a business in the United States, and
sure
you can't speak freely, because if you do, people will come demonize you and try to destroy your business.
It's called capitalism.
Actually, number one, Laura, most Americans are for marriage equality now.
Right.
We have reached majority support for marriage equality in this country.
And if you don't like what people are dishing out, you go somewhere else.
That's the way it works. Premise. Most Americans probably generally agree with the CEO.
That's some informal polling from Laura Ingraham.
Friend she pulled on the way to work. The marketplace is supposed to work. It's supposed to flourish, except when it's not. You know, we've seen this in the past when progressives have stated their cause in the marketplace and told business owners, we don't like the way you do business. We don't like the way you're doing this. And therefore, we're going to take our business elsewhere. And suddenly
it's communism.
Yeah. I like that you pointed out.
And it's not just, he's not just stating his opinion. He is funding these radical anti-gay campaigns. This is not sort of meandering, I have an opinion on the weekend type of thing, and he's being penalized. He is going out of his way to pick this fight, and now, conservatives are whining that there is a fight.
And I love that you point out how imprecise her polling is. Some Americans mostly say, meaning when I was in the hallway talking to Michelle Malkin and Monica Crowley, my informal polling shows that most Americans...
It's known as the internal Fox News poll.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Eric Poehler, great stuff as always. Talk to you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
There he goes. Eric Poehler, Media Matters.
Hooray! Some Americans at anchor baby Michelle Malkin say...
All right, Carl in Nashville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Stephanie.
Oh, hi. Good. Go ahead.
Well, I was wondering, I have two questions. One, when exactly did Mitt Romney start running for president of Israel?
Exactly.
And like the Rombot will do, he backtracked on some of his harsh lines against Iran the next day. And number two, most importantly, when did American politicians become Israel's bitch? I want to know exactly when did we have to bow down to Israel to win any public office in this country? When did the xenophobes on the Republican Party decide?
Yeah. Well, I keep asking it because it astounds me about the mainstream media. Why have we not heard more of the story? I've heard the audio of Sheldon Adelson saying, unfortunately, I wore the uniform of the United States military. I wish it had been the Israeli military.
Right.
And I hope my sons, become snipers in the Israeli army or something. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah,
can you imagine if that was a top supporter of President Obama?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you love that country so much over this country, why don't you...
I would have given anything, Jim, to peek in the thought bubble when Mitt Romney had his hand on the wall and was praying.
Yeah.
And
I still
take out your organ. What could possibly have been in his thought bubble? I pray that you all convert to the right religion so I don't have to convert you after you
how
die.
How can I convert you while you're still alive? How can I make that happen? What's going
to
take?
I pray for you to convert to the right religion, Mormonism, before you die.
How about $10,000? Would that cover it? I think the
he
only...
Just, he put 10 grand in the wall instead of... He put little slips of money in the wall. All right.
I still think there was just a money bag with a dollar sign on the side of it in the thought bubble.
That's all that's ever in the thought bubble.
That's all he thinks about. That's all he's money. Talking.
Even with his thought bubble, he owed Gene Simmons some money because he copyrighted that.
Yeah. He still, that's all he talks about is the GDP of Palestinians. It's like... they're occupied. They don't have the same opportunities you did, you douche.
Moron.
Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's crazy, but I'd do her.
Was that Bill Handel?
As Jim says, crazy in the
crazy
head.
Crazy head, crazy in the baby.
Yeah. They say. Okay, 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
By the way, I may say that Courtney was rocking that blue dress last night.
Oh, hello, Courtney in the current.
She ain't nothing but fine, as we say in the hood.
I don't know how she was holding that blue dress.
I mean Sherman Oaks. Hello.
It was like magic. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Turn to Help. There are different ways to help for opioid dependence. I said that right.
Opioid.
Yes. Maybe because of your opioid dependence, you couldn't say that.
That's right. Find out at turntohelpnow.com. Jim. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Stephanie in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey.
Hey, Steph.
I just want y'all to know, we got rain over the weekend, and it was a big downpour.
Yay!
We need it.
Right.
And now, but don't worry, your cornflakes are still going to cost $5 because it really didn't do any good. Okay. But anyway, two things. You got to talk about that poster they put up in Idaho about Obama comparing him to the killer of Aurora.
Oh, we haven't talked about it, but I did see that. Yeah.
What is the...
Okay, okay. Well, they're comparing him. They're saying that he killed 12 people and got prosecuted or something, and then Obama killed millions of people in Afghanistan. But the point I was going to bring out is, you all don't get it. Romney is over there, and what he's doing is he's answering our gun control law. Because by the time he gets back, he'll piss off so many people. We will be the Germany. He will be Hitler, and everybody will be trying to attack us. So we all would need our assault rifles to protect ourselves from the world.
Ah, yes, exactly. There we go. That whole analogy again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, and another thing Romney's been floating is this nonsense about Winston Churchill's bust
in
the White House.
That
it's some kind of liberal plot because he was a conservative. No, the first Churchill bust was returned by the Bush administration at the end of his presidency. There's a second bust, which is still there in the Oval Office.
Yeah, Romney was like, when I'm president, I'll have the Winston Churchill bust back. All right. Oh, by the way, did you see his... that was yet another Olympic event, him backpedaling.
Yeah.
He won the original put in your mouth, head up your ass gold medal. And then
that's why I'm good at sport.
Under fire for days. He now says he repeated multiple times Friday he thinks the city's ready. After being here a couple days, it looks like London's ready. I'm absolutely convinced that the people here are ready for the games.
Oh,
in just a few minutes,
go home,
all the things
twitch.
Politicians say will get swept away because athletes will take the stage. No, actually, we'll always remember what a douche you were in London. We really were. We're sorry. I know you'd like for it to be swept away in a couple of days, but not really.
No.
How are you enjoying the pancakes at International House of Douche?
These are crumpets. Or so I'm told.
Yeah, scones. And this is why he's probably never even going to get laid again.
I love your English muffins.
As for Ann Romney's...
English muffins are not English.
No.
They were invented in New York.
As for Ann Romney's horse, Rafalka, he said, I'd love to be there, but this is going to be kind of a busy time for me, chuckled Romney. Here's a disturbing little...
He chuckled uncomfortably.
Yeah. Here's a little disturbing peek into their private life. He said, one Christmas, my sons gave me a box, and he said, if you wear this, Mom will pay more attention to you. It was a rubber horse mask.
Which end of the horse, I wonder?
Hey! See what you did there?
Wow.
Yeah, I don't need to know anything more about what kind of bedroom games that
whatever
Romney's play. Okay. Rubber horse mask. Some sort of equus thing.
Yikes.
I don't know. I think I speak for all of us when I say yikes. BJ in Tennessee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, BJ.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Hey, guys, and the whole crew.
Hey there.
Good.
I sure enjoy you guys this morning. I had to watch a little bit of Morning Joe, and the life drained out of me. So I come to your show every morning, and
ooh,
and I have hope.
Yeah, yeah, you should probably just
yeah,
start
just
with us.
Just switch to Steffi yeah. Crystals. You don't need your Morning Joe. All right, go ahead.
Oh, no. Okay, listen, I know everybody was watching the Olympics over the weekend and everything, but my goal was to check out Romney to see how he was doing. And I've been watching him a lot. I'm reading his body language. But this guy has a severe case of what I call ignorant-itis. He no. is eat up with it. The thing that bothered me, of course, the big gap he made in England, I mean, right off the bat, you know, his handlers had to grab him and start, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. The one thing that bothered me, I don't think anybody caught, was when he went to Israel and he went to the wall to pray. When he stepped up to that wall and put his hand on it,
uh-huh.
he had a smirk on his face.
Ooh.
And I literally...
That's what I'm saying. He was wow. preemptively giggling about baptizing dead Israelis into the Mormon religion. That's what he was doing. He was preemptively smirking.
It's probably the most somber place on earth.
Yeah.
Well,
and George Bush always had yeah. that weird smirk that yeah. didn't match the occasion, you know, just that.
Romney should not be allowed to go to Auschwitz because he'll oh. try to make some joke.
Oh, no.
I shudder to think yeah. what the jokes will be about.
Okay. Mitt Romney in his
We should deal. Use every diplomatic and political vehicle that's available to us to keep Iran from becoming a nuclear capability state. If all those options fail, then we do have other options, and we don't take those other options off the table.
Well, that's
but that's as far as I'm willing to go in terms of discussing this matter while on foreign soil.
Yeah, so once right. again, he now. Did this with his hands.
Yeah.
It's the same as Obama's policy, but I did this. And besides, in case you haven't noticed, he's black, and I'm not. Okay.
He's not of it.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Okay, Paul in Florida. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I have a rather curious matter about voters' registration suppression here in the swing state of Florida. I had, a few weeks ago, had to renew my driver's license, and the old license had the same address that I'm at now, and so I was just getting a new renewed license, and they asked me if I wanted to register to vote. So I said, of course, and I pulled my partner over and said, you know, let's get registered. So he did also. Well, just a few days ago, we got the big cardboard, you know, thing where it flaps over. On the front is the correct address. But when you look at the registration card, it has a very old address on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't match my driver's license. So I wanted to warn people to check the card, not just that it comes
yeah.
to you.
Yeah, well, you...
Paul, whether this is intentional or not, I'm not sure. You know,
yeah, well, I'm going to guess this year that, yes, it is intentional, so you should check and double-check everything. Did you see this story?
Yeah.
Former Florida GOP chair says right-wing crazies want to suppress the black vote. This is what happens when former Florida Republican Party chair Jim Greer testified in the lawsuit filing against his former party that a wackadoo right-wing crazies are wanted to suppress the black vote through voter ID and tactics like current state governor Rick Scott's efforts to purge voter rolls, according to a reporting in the Tampa Bay Times on Thursday. He said, I was upset because the political consultants and staff were talking about voter suppression and keeping blacks from voting. It had been one of those days, he testified in a 630-page affidavit that spans 2 days of deposition at about a fundraising meeting with other, you know, Republican Party counsel. Mm-hmm. He claimed that the 2010 criminal fraud charges filed against him and other Republicans were part of an internal party power scheming designed to push him and former Governor Charlie Crist out, among others. And Charlie Crist spoke out about this
yep.
last week. Crist now classifies himself as a moderate, criticized Governor Scott's shameless tactics to suppress voting rights, including requiring photo IDs, preventing felons from voting, and purging voter rolls unconscionable. That was last week. You know, now we're seeing the backstage machinations behind all this. Greer resigned under pressure from the party in late 2009, signing a severance agreement that outlined a $130,000 payment. Party officials later denied making the agreement, refused to honor it. He said, they took everything I worked for my whole life, admitting his family is now on food stamps.
Wow.
Mm. Any good thing I did at the Republican Party has been destroyed by these people. I mean, you know, this is what happens when they turn on you,
yeah.
right? I mean, it's And that's the thing. It's like it is so. I mean, that's why the Justice Department is on this. It's so clear. Mm-hmm. And now we have the, you know, the actual testimony from behind closed doors. Of course, it's about suppressing the black vote or anyone else who might vote for Obama.
That's right.
Paul in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Paul.
Well, good morning, Stephanie, and thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Stephanie, I'm just old and brittle, so I'll get over it real quick.
Me too. Me too. Go ahead.
You know, when the Republican Party says that we don't want to raise taxes on the job creators, I find that kind of screwy in a way, because isn't it the same creators, those job creators that took all the manufacturing jobs and put them over to China?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And now they want to get more taxes for tax relief to create more jobs?
Yep.
Overseas.
Yes. Yes, right. Overseas. Uh-huh. Exactly.
The other thing here, and
that was a very good point for a brittle elderly gentleman.
the other thing that I just wanted to mention, and then I'll get off here because I know your time is short. There is nothing more disheartening and hurtful when a person, man or woman, busts their ass all day long, either working in a factory. We're not talking people who dress up in Armani shoes and Testani shoes or in Armani suits. No, they have to take a bath or a shower when they get home.
Yep.
And almost their home is going to be foreclosed, and they can't even put food on the table for their family. What the hell is going on?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the whole debate, Paul, they talk about. People that take a shower after work instead of before work, you know. And the election's certainly going to be a lot about that, I think, the 99% and the 1%.
Well, I worked at Ford Foundry when it was 120 degrees.
Wow.
Because you cannot shut a foundry down.
Right.
You cannot do that.
Yep.
I know what the hell it's all about.
Yep. Yep. Paul, great call. Thank you, honey. Appreciate it.
Mm. Oh.
All right. He was not that old and brittle. He was very young.
You work in a foundry, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You can't be brittle when you work in a foundry.
No, sturdy. Yeah. All right, 45 minutes.
Party peasant stock.
45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it. It's a fabulous program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. It funks your brother?
Yeah,
what?
Right? 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPHANIE.
Stephanie thought that was...
Well, no, she said, can you make a bump song out of that song, It Funks Your Brother? And I'm like...
What is it then?
Funk Soul Brother.
Sure, Funk Soul Brother.
Funk Soul Brother.
Word at word. Okay,
1-800... It really did take me like a month to figure out what the hell she was talking
right,
about.
Peace out, Yells Mamas. 1-800-STEPHANIE.
As we say in the hood.
Mittens in Israel.
Israel faces enemies who deny past crimes against the Jewish people and seek to commit new ones.
Okay. On to Iran.
The Ayatollahs in Tehran are testing our moral defenses. My message to the people of Israel and the leaders of Iran is one and the same. We will not look away, nor will my country ever look away.
Still cashing those checks from Sheldon Adelson.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Oh, by the way, so following a series of well-publicized gaffes, as they say in the business in London, his campaign was going to restrict press access to that thing yesterday, the Sheldon Adelson fundraiser.
That's right.
Yes. Hmm. They first reneged on the deal. They were going to close it to the press.
Mm-hmm. And then the press kind of
They might
of
be afraid that
bit.
Sheldon might say something again, like, I unfortunately wore the uniform of the American Army.
Yeah.
Or something else
something,
untoward.
Yes.
Yeah.
Reversing itself in the face of complaints, though. Oh, they flip-flopped on something.
What?
So then they let the press back in. Yeah.
Shook that Etch-A-Sketch.
He's just that spine of steel.
Yeah.
Exactly. Doug in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Doug.
Hey, hi. How are you, Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
Long-time fan, first-time caller.
Thank you.
What's motivated me is this shooting in Colorado. I'm a gun owner out here, an outdoorsman. All my life. And these paranoid idiots in the NRA have never spoken for me ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Number two, Ted Nugent, shut up, please.
Just please shut up. Thank you on behalf of all of us.
Oh, I have a minor correction on the English muffin comment.
Yes.
I wish to apologize. The English muffin was invented by Samuel Thomas in New York City, but he was, in fact, English.
Oh.
Well, so they are, in fact, English, in as much as Mr. Thomas was English.
Oh, here's another fun fact that Jim found out from the stuntman in the Queen skit.
Yes. It was an actual queen, drag queen. Well, no. But
He was in a dress.
Yes. But, interestingly, his last name was Conroy.
Yes, I would have jumped out of a helicopter, but I think I'm a bit long in the tooth for that.
Sharon and Nash.
I'm to be an expert in this facility.
Hey, Sharon, welcome.
Well, good morning, Stephanie and team. You guys are a breath of fresh air here in Tennessee.
Aww.
I sure hope you'll bring your sexually liberal show here sometime.
Oh, you know what? Shelley Wright, the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, trying to talk us into it. We mentioned it on the show about bringing her with us to Nashville,
well,
doing sexually liberal in Nashville.
And you know what?
She's down with it.
Ever since we've been on current TV, we've been getting a whole lot of calls from Tennessee.
I know.
So
all right.
No, Shelley just wrote me last week. She goes, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's play Nashville.
Okay. Well, here's my quick comment. I'm wondering, what's it going to take for the high-visibility Democrats to have sharp rebuttals to all the untruths that the Republicans said? You know, they don't bring up raising money in foreign countries. You know, he goes to London, this is Mitt, London and Israel to raise money. And there's just no comeback from the Democrats. And finally,
Sharon, I'm the only one that I know that's so far that I've heard in the media point out that he raised money in London from the same crooks that were behind the LIBOR scandal.
Barclays Bank.
So he found the crooks in London. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. If I can say one thing about what represents patriotism and love for our country, it was Michelle Obama's hugging our basketball team when they won.
Aww.
I can't imagine any other first lady that we've had so far or may project who would do such a kind thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, she's such a great ambassador for us, I swear. I mean, there's the contrast with Mittens' little tour and then All right, Mittens in Israel.
We cannot stand silent as those who seek to undermine Israel voice their criticisms, and we certainly should not join in that criticism. Diplomatic distance in our public between our nations emboldens Israel's adversaries.
So we can't ever criticize Israel for anything? Is the point?
Oh, I'm sorry, Sheldon, another check. Thank you.
Okay.
How much saber rattling will that buy?
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Bill in Madison. Hi, Bill. Welcome.
Hi there. Long, long, long time listener. I think you've been on the air since 2005.
I am elderly and brittle.
2004.
No,
2004.
No, not at all.
Yes.
You're wonderful.
Thank you.
I was listening to the right-wing world here and what the Fox and Friends were saying, and they were admonishing the British press, saying they should back off because Romney might be president someday.
Yeah.
Well, don't you realize we already have a president? Maybe they should back off because we already have a president. And supposed to, you know, what are they trying to say? They're just hypocritical on that.
Yeah, I love that. It was just a preemptive shot of Britain.
Yeah. Look at you.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go to Paula in Georgia. Hey, Paula, welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, you're wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
I've got a question. How do we, the people, I'm 71 years old, and I do carry a gun, by the way. I've got Dead Shot Grandma on the back of my truck.
Yeah, you sound like you're packing.
No, I am. Pack a voice, too, for an old woman. how do we, the people, get the Supreme Court to stop this voter suppression in the states before the election, before it's too late?
Well, that's what the Justice Department is working on, Paul. And that's why this whole targeting of Eric Holder, because they don't like what he's doing with the, trying to stop this voter suppression. I mean, it's, you know what I'm saying. Judd in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Judd.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I'll let you know I'm in Northeast Florida, so that may have a little bit to do with my my statement here. I got an interesting presidential poll over the weekend. It went through the normal things like, if Romney picked Tim Pawlenty, if he picked Bobby Jindal, Condoleezza Rice, would you vote for him? But then it got a little weird. The first one was, if Charlie Crist switched to the Democratic Party, would you vote for him? And I thought that was weird because I don't even think he can run again.
Right. Charlie Crist.
Charlie Crist.
Yeah.
Right.
Term limited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm praying for. I'm praying to the comedy gods. Please, God, the only excitement left in the thing is who he picks for vice president. Please, God, let it be Bobby Jindal.
Kenneth DePage.
Amen. Okay. Thank you. Amen. You know why.
Why?
He'd be first vice presidential exorcist. Just saying. He did exorcise a demon from his girlfriend in college. Correct?
This isn't alleged. He admitted it.
He's proud of it.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And he loves it when we bring it up.
Hello, I'm Mrs. Bobby Jindal.
Marcus Bachman sucks in hell.
Just head spinning. Pea soup all over the Rose Garden. All right. Just saying. Comedy dream.
Wow, hell sounds fabulous.
I'm an American exorcist. I can do anything.
I can do
demons
anything.
Demons be gone.
Volcanoes la, be gone. La, 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 la. That's why we don't need volcano monitoring. I will exorcise them.
Oh, boy. All right. He's probably going to pick that boring Rob Portman, right?
Or Tim Pawlenty. I think it's Tim Pawlenty.
People are saying that Portman is what the...
Yeah, but Portman doesn't have any name recognition at all. At least Tim Pawlenty has.
I wouldn't know him if I ran into him.
Yeah,
what does he look like?
I have no idea what he looks like.
Maybe he chose Natalie Portman, but then she would.
The boner is behind Portman. John Boehner told Fox News that
Portman from Ohio? Is that why?
Yes, he said, I'm partial to Rob Portman. Yeah. I think he'd be a great asset.
I would be a great asset. This is an old drinking buddy of mine.
Exactly. Okay, yeah, Bobby Jones. Marco Rubio? Still being speculated about?
No.
Yeah.
He's going to go safe and boring.
Yeah. Yep. All right. 50, is there possible for someone to be more boring than him? Perhaps. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, total 3-8. Thank you, Los Angeles. Oh, we had us a night at the Pantages with Sexy Liberal, Rob Reiner, Lily Tomlin, Hal Sparks, John Fuglesang, and, of course, Chris Lindeboy, Jim Ward, rocking it, Jackie Schechner.
You were the opening act.
You were. Mm-hmm. Everybody rocked it. It was almost 3,000 people sold out. It was incredible. An unsolicited testimonial. By the way, pictures are up, I believe.
Yes.
We posted the link at Stephanie Miller Show Facebook. And
we tweeted a link out.
And we tweeted a link as well.
Yes.
So there. And I'm sure Roland will get those up on the Sexy Liberal Facebook and Twitter as soon as he returns from rehab.
As soon as he sobers up.
he gets his liver off the clothesline.
He was a little high strung backstage.
He was having some things.
There were some box office issues.
And unfortunately, that ceiling was a little too high for him to cling on to.
I had to pull him down like a kitty. All right. Unsolicited. Oh, this is from our friend Mary.
I've known her since college.
The official frat house mother of the SMS, meaning Chris LaVoy's frat house mother from?
From Arizona State University, Lambda Chi Alpha.
Okie dokie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I saw those college pictures that she was going to bring of you.
I wasn't in any of them.
Oh.
It was mostly her son.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was in. How selfish of her. All about her and her son. Okay. Steph and Chris, thank you both for being so gracious toward me after the show. Yeah, we are gracious. We are warm and classy, right, Jim?
Yeah. With a K.
Thank you all for a show even funnier than last year's show. Oh, my goodness. Steph, I was sitting in the front row. You looked over and asked if I was coughing up a lung. No, you were causing me to laugh so hard.
I
was attempting to catch my breath. Oh, I thought someone was doing a hernia test in the front row. I wasn't sure. Panel was terrific. Rob and Lily. Wow. Steph, as I told Chris, each morning when the show starts, it's as if you and the Mooks pick me up in the Ferris Bueller Ferrari and take me for a ride for 3 hours, which sustains me to deal with the BS of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Stephanie Miller Show Ferrari. Hop in.
Aw.
Bueller.
Yeah.
Anyone.
Oh, yeah. Just 3 hours of Jim perving out over all the hot current chips. Jackie, Courtney. All right. Okay, once again, thanks for a great evening. I had a blast. P.S. Thanks for the nice baseball cap. Nice touch. Yes! Current brought the Talking Liberally with Stephanie Miller baseball cap.
Oh, sweet.
All right.
There wasn't one on my seat.
You don't get one.
Okay. You got a lump of coal.
Yeah. and a hate letter.
Oh.
Just to balance things out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we need the hate letter music?
Sure. From Barbara. No subject line. A lot of times they don't bother with the subject line. They just get right to the point.
For the subject line.
And, salutation. Hey, loudmouth.
Oh, okay.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Maybe they'll change Twitter to litter for you and your buddy Obama. Wow, good one, Barbara.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah.
Nicely done.
How long did she...
Maybe she could open for us sometime.
Yeah.
I wonder how long it took her to write that.
Twitter writes litter.
And another thing.
No caps in the whole letter. I noticed a little bit of the E. Cummings of hate letters.
You kind
of
do that, too.
I don't bother.
Yeah, you don't
Depends
use
punctuation. Depends on
what time of day. Who has time for punctuation?
Too much work after Chardonnay. Be careful what you're saying. You never know
your
who is...
spelled Y-O-U-R, I presume?
No, actually, this is spelled right. Yeah, right, this is new. Yeah. You never know who is monitoring your station. Oh. The FCC is listening, lady.
Hey, lady! The FCC's listening.
Lady, the FCC, with the flagging, lady.
Obama isn't perfect.
No,
okay,
never.
That's what I say every
is.
Day, is he's perfect in every way. Maybe if you would stop thinking that Obama is the Messiah... Then things would be, you know.
The Sean Hannity viewer.
Do we have Skeeter Pack for her? Because she probably gives. She probably wants to give to Skeeter Pack. Then things would be a little different. You're not the authority. You don't know everything. Neither I'm not. We're not the boss of her. Jim is her point.
Mm-hmm.
Neither Obama or Romney are fit to be president. Oh well, we halfway agree then. You are very hypocritical.
How so?
I don't really know. Barbara's just a little loose on details in this. Yeah. I'd like some more details. I'm a hypocritical. Neither Ron. I wonder who she's voting for. Oh, all right.
Pat Paulson.
I'm just guessing. She's giving to Skeeter Pack.
Left-wing Nazi.
In 2011, we told you about Skeeter.
He's going to take our guns
Afflicted
away.
Afflicted with Obama derangement syndrome, people like Skeeter have little or no connection to reality.
He hates small business.
In 2012, despite many breakthroughs, Skeeter's condition has worsened.
That's part of the gay agenda.
The good news is, you can help.
He's all uppity.
We're proud to announce the formation of Skeeter Pact.
Born in Kenya.
A political action committee dedicated to countering the effects of Obama derangement syndrome.
All he does is golf.
For those who need it the most.
Take vacations.
With your donation, we can put people with ODS in special rooms with newspapers, books, and other fact-based information, which can be read by, or in the case of Skeeter, read to Obama derangement syndrome sufferers.
He's not Anglo-Saxon.
Won't you help?
I need more ammo.
Skeeter didn't build his condition by himself.
Roads and bridges are communist.
And Obama derangement syndrome won't end without your help.
Rachel Maddow's a guy.
Please give today to Skeeter Pack. Paid for by Friends of Skeeter.
Oh, that's one of my favorites. I catch a new thing every time.
Yeah.
Skeeter under
water. What was it when you caught this time?
I like the pictures. The books, the fact-based books and magazines we put in the room.
People just
I like the pictures.
They're kind of unfocused on what they're angry about.
Yeah, they really are.
God.
It amounts to flarg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'd like to thank Rocky Mountain Mike for that.
Yes.
It's like Jim said, the American voters, they said with one voice in the 2010 midterms, they said...
Schmark!
Snurf! They got what they voted for. Block. Okay. Oh, and back to another unsolicited testimonial. Why not Melissa in Marshall, North Carolina?
Okay.
Mornings with y'all. Melissa says, Dear Steph and the Mooks, in a fabulous case of unintended consequences, you are actually making me a healthier, happier, clappier liberal farm girl. My busy mornings cannot accommodate both yoga and your sexy liberal goodness, so I decided to lose the soothing bell music and stretch, bend, and power pose along with you on Current. Oh, Melissa's doing downward dog to you, Jim. That's something? This led to my practice evolving in laughter yoga. My serotonin is singing. I am longer and stronger. I'm in my best shape ever. I'm 58, and I'm feeling like I'm going all Benjamin Button lately.
Wow.
Who is downward dogging with us in North Carolina this morning. Get it. All right. Oh, and Kyle in Albuquerque writes, a friend of mine posted this on Facebook. Instead of going to Chick-fil-A a day protesting their anti-gay stance, go there and protest their use of swine in their breakfast. Yes. Point out that pork is expressly forbidden in Leviticus, and they claim to operate on biblical principles.
Hmm.
Thank you.
That's right.
Nicely done. What's up with the pork sausage sandwiches?
Mm-hmm. They used to be delicious until they became hateful.
Right.
So I stopped eating them.
This sausage is hateful.
As I said,
I can taste the hatred.
I prefer the non-biggity chicken.
Yes.
I would like the non-biggity chicken, please.
If you're going for a sausage biscuit, might I suggest either Carl's Jr. or Hardee's?
Sausage biscuit?
Yes.
Okay. Why did I just do Yogi Bear?
I don't know.
I don't think picnic biscuit.
I don't think Yogi Bear has ever uttered the word sausage biscuit.
Sausage biscuit. Okay.
Picnic basket. Hi.
I'm so tired. Okay. I was up. I couldn't sleep last night. Too much adrenaline still from Saturday night. So I was watching Olympic stuff. Flippy girls, I don't know, some sort of ballet or gymnastics thing in the middle of the night. I don't know.
And I woke up at 1:30 this morning, couldn't get back to sleep, so I turned on NBC and they had kayaking on. I'm like, this is really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, unfortunate, Michael Phelps did not win, despite being really odd looking platypus shaped fellow.
Mitt Romney.
He looked like he was engineered in a lab for swimming, don't you? He's like some sort of sea mammal.
His feet are like
very
this
possible.
Big.
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Is he webbed?
Some people
are born with webs, toes and fingers.
And here is, it's a Romney. It's a Romney salute to the Olympics.
The live world of sport.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of
sport. But it wasn't a sport.
The thrill of victory.
The agony of defeat.
This is ABC's wide world of
sport. But it wasn't a sport.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Fabulous. Guess what all the Olympic athletes are guzzling? Beet juice. Say it three times. Beet juice. Beet,
beet juice,
juice.
Beet juice. Beet juice. Beet juice.
Yeah. I don't know. It's the thing.
Then Michael Keaton comes out.
Yeah.
No.
No?
Olympic athletes are looking for a non-illegal performance, but this is going to replace coconut water as the latest, bold thing that you're supposed to drink. We're going to have beet juice fever soon because that's what all the Olympic athletes are drinking, and it tastes like sweet dirt. Drink up, everybody.
I just think I'm going to vibe.
I never got on the coconut milk, coconut water train. I'm like, this is just sugar water. Okay. Queen Elizabeth toured London's Olympic heartland after her skit. The Queen told someone that she was very, very impressed with the success of her first film appearance. Her first dramatic venture. Wow. I don't know if she has a list of, like, a long rider like J-Lo's now.
I should be the next Bond girl.
Well, since the guy pretending to be her is named Connery.
Yeah.
Can I have my stoner music, please?
Yeah.
Gawker brings us. Sorry, Michael Phelps. Ryan, how do you say his name? Ryan Lochte?
Lochte.
Lochte.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is America's new slacker sweetheart. He won the 400-meter individual relay while Michael Phelps, as we know, didn't even make it to the podium. Phelps is focused and serious while Lochte is a prankster who says a lot. The S word. Oh.
Yeah.
Lochte told Men's Journal about a story about throwing water balloons and egging houses. He's a prankster.
Oh, great.
Conversations with him are conducted in stream of consciousness with dude and like. Frequently sprinkled
he's Jeff Spicoli.
Between other words and come out slowly as if he's just ripped a few bong hits. He listens to hip-hop constantly and continues to ride his skateboard. But Ryan Lochte is America, Gawker writes. He's a slacker who around and still manages to come out on top. Now that's American!
Eating some pizza, learning about Cuba.
Drinking some beet juice. Doing some swimming.
Maybe he's just got water in his ears. It has the same effect of...
Yeah.
He is a bong. He doesn't take bong hits.
Nora Ephron, I read her last book on the plane a while back, and she has the funniest thing about trying to get in shape, and you get in that swimmer's ear. She said you have to dig into your brainstem to get it to stop itching.
Yeah.
And she's pretty sure that's why Van Gogh cut his ear off, because he just taken up swimming. Hi, we love you, Nora. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, a freak show!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Get it, because Eric in Ohio said, hey, Steph, just looked at the latest pictures from Sexy Liberal. You looked Pat Benatar, hubba hubba hot. Thank you. I love Pat Benatar. I'll take that compliment. I think I look a little like kind of like a drunken slutty cocktail waitress in a lot of the pictures, which is not far from the truth.
That dress was a little high.
I was a waitress at Fung Lum, as you know.
Well, that was you wore a kimono there.
I wore a kimono.
It wasn't a kimono.
Well,
kimonos are Japanese.
Well, I'm sure it was a kimono. They just didn't know.
They didn't know.
Yeah.
It was polyester, and wow, was it.
And did it go all the way down to your feet, like kimonos do?
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
More like pajamas.
Yes.
Oh, okay. They have legs?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did. Oh. Yes.
So yeah, that dress was entirely too short to perform, and I did. I did Paris Hilton, the entire city of Los Angeles, Saturday night. And I hope you enjoyed. I didn't. That was Roland's fault. My pimp. He's trying to tart me up. Come on, we got to give LA something different, special.
If you tap me up, I'm
too spazzy to wear a dress.
Roland is awesome at many things. Yeah. Being a stylist, I don't know, is one of them.
Not so much.
Yeah.
He is no Marcus Bachman in that regard. All right.
Marcus would have put you in bone.
That is not Winter
that
White.
Is not bone. Okay, you know who is bone?
Who?
Our new associate producer.
That's right.
Who just started today. Who's delightful. Segment. He was there Saturday night. Travis Bone.
That's right. T-Bone.
Our T-Bone. We got us a T-Bone.
That's right.
Okay, let's go to Rick in Denver. Hi, Rick.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, I was just thinking, obviously, here in Denver, we're, you know, thinking about all the people in Aurora that were shot up, and it just made me think, how can we live in a country where you can't yell fire in a crowded theater, but it's okay to open fire in the crowded theater, and the right wing and the and the NRA are not willing to, you know, the American people basically need to take back their Congress from the NRA, because even a majority of gun owners want to have more limitations on some of these guns. And it's just incredible that we don't have a Congress anymore that listens to the people.
Yeah, Rick, we just did a story last week. Frank Luntz, of all people, the Republican pollster, did some polling of gun owners that shows that, you know, this subject is not resolved, that a lot of gun owners, I think, are for reasonable gun control measures. And it's, you know, I'm sick of the NRA, that, you know, just making us feel like the debate is over and we can't ever even bring it up again. When, what did Eric Boulder tell us? 30,000 people a year are killed in the United States by guns. And all right. Anyway. All right. Mittens, still in Israel. I'm not sure if has he made a gaffe yet
Not
today?
Yet.
Okay.
As president, my first foreign trip will not be to Cairo or Riyadh or Ankara. It will be to Jerusalem.
Oh, okay. All right. And the president already
Meadowlark
lemoned him.
He did make a mistake.
What?
He called Jerusalem the capital of Israel when that's in dispute. He did. He did make a mistake. You asked, and I answered.
Okay. This is Mittens last year.
He's treating Israel the same way so many European countries have, with suspicion and distrust and assumption that Israel is somehow at fault.
Uh-huh. Okay. And then here we go with the, who is this? Is a Romney surrogate? Kelly, what's her name?
Ayotte.
Kelly Ayotte.
Ayotte.
Ayotte?
Yes. Senator from New Hampshire.
Republican of New Hampshire on the whole apology tour.
Mitt Romney is going to be strong on America's exceptionalism and strong foreign policy for America. And he won't go around and apologize for America. Think about it. The president's first major foreign policy speech in Cairo was to apologize for our country.
No, he didn't.
And he's actually made us weaker around the world as opposed to stronger. And Mitt Romney will say, stand strong with our allies.
Oh, come on.
Here's the funny thing is the president, that's always been a lie. He never did an apology tour, but now he's going to have to for Mitt Romney.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now he's got to go around to every country that Mitt Romney goes to and apologize for what Mitt Romney just said.
Who would have thought we needed to repair relations with Great Britain, for God's sake?
Because of
good
Mittens.
God.
Good God, Mittens.
I think we pretty much hammered that out by World War I.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sooner than that, even.
Chris in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Chris.
How are you doing this morning?
Good. Go ahead.
First of all, my first comment would be about the gun control. I am a part-time gunsmith. I am a member of the NRA. I also am a retired disabled veteran. I do believe in gay marriage. I am not a Bible-thumping Christian, but I do believe in our Judeo-Christian laws. I believe that I never did like that don't ask, don't tell. I believe gays should be able to serve openly in the military.
All right. We have your whole
and
platform.
This is coming from I was a guy that was in recon, infantry, and special forces.
Okay.
But you guys got to give it a break. I believe that you should be able to have whatever kind of firearm farm you want to have, but you have too many idiots out here, and when I do get my federal firearms license, I will ensure that all these people that come in and want to purchase firearms from me will not have the ability to do something stupid just by telling them.
So
you know,
how do we idiot-proof the getting a gun system here in America? I mean, do you think 30,000 deaths a year is that's okay?
They have more deaths than that in Darfur a day. I mean, come on. There's countries in the world that do not.
We're not Darfur.
Yeah, we're not a lawless country.
We're not Darfur. We're not Somalia.
Yeah. We have laws.
We're not doing anything about any of those countries that are importing illegal.
Wait a minute, that should be our bar. Our bar that we're better than Darfur.
Really?
Is that it?
We're better than just about anybody. There's also been mass shootings in Australia and several other countries that do not.
Okay,
have
so we're focusing on how why there's 30,000 deaths a day, or excuse me, a year in America.
And how many of those are from protecting home invasions?
I don't know. The point is, you don't think that we're... Okay. All right. Okay,
so 29,000 of them are justified.
All right. We're doing better than Darfur, ladies and gentlemen, and that's...
Yes!
That's our bar.
Yeah.
With a bullet.
Oh. Bam! In your face. Booyah, Darfur.
In your face, Darfur.
29 minutes after the hour.
Next we'll be compared to Kabul.
Our
next bar.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Relax. This is just temporary. Like lesbianism at women's colleges.
Well, sometimes it sticks. 34 minutes after the hour.
Ew.
Oh, dear. I thought it was a phase. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anyone.
I wonder if your mom actually did think it was a phase.
Yes, I think so.
Really?
Oh, Steph, you're so pretty. Don't you like men?
Yeah. Oh. I'm sure you could get a nice husband and settle down.
You could catch a man. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Someone sent me a funny. This is a funny from... Oh, wait a minute, that's not the right... Hang on, I'm sorry. I'm so drunk still from the weekend.
You've got a lot of things in your box.
Wow! Okay, excuse me?
Really? What?
Listen, what happens at Sexy Liberal LA stays in Sexy.
Actually, there are pictures.
Yes, there are pictures on Saturday night. Somebody has a... They're standing in front of a Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And right after the A, they're holding up their iPhone that just says holes.
Holes. That's funny. Funny because
it's
true.
Funny because it's true. Okay, let's go to David in L.A. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi.
This is a real treat this morning because I don't often get to talk to a babe like you at 8:30 in the morning.
Oh, come on now.
Anyhow, my question really is more a question combination of comment. Why do you think that neither candidate neither candidate will talk about the true job creators in this country, which are the middle class? The middle class, when they are empowered to buy things, will do so.
Mm-hmm.
And if they demand increases, the companies will make these things and hire the people to do it with.
Yep.
Why don't we talk about that?
Yep. Well, it's a point well taken. Oh,
that's
because
the Republicans prefer to have class warfare.
Yes. Wait, doofus alert. David in Virginia with the latest on Mitt Romney in Israel. Hi, David.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
Love you.
Thank you.
I think you are the smartest, funniest, and sexiest liberal in all of progressive talk radio.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
Listen, the reason I'm calling is I was up this morning. I was reading the Washington Post, as I usually do in the morning. I was sitting there with my mom reading because I'm the official good son of the Stephanie Miller Show. And the reason I'm calling is on the front page of the Washington Post, it showed Romney wearing a yarmulke. He was standing right near, I think, the Wailing Wall or something like that.
Yep.
And, you know, as a Jew, this doesn't really sit well with me. I mean, here's a guy standing near the Wailing Wall wearing a yarmulke. He's supposed to be paying respect to the Israeli people. And as a Jew, it's like, you know, it just doesn't sit well that this is a guy whose religion mandates the baptizing of dead Holocaust victims.
Yeah.
This really kind of gets under my skin.
Although, you know, if he hadn't worn a yarmulke, would that be considered even more
I don't know.
Offensive.
You just know it's going to be a countdown to him calling it a beanie or something. He'll forget what it is. And
I just think it would have been more offensive if he hadn't
thank you so
worn
much
a yarmulke.
For the nice...
I mean, Obama wore a yarmulke when he went to the Wailing Wall.
I know.
Yeah.
All right. Mittens, meanwhile, with ABC. Uh-oh, they brought up the taxes.
Was there ever any year when you paid lower than the 13.9%?
Well, I haven't calculated that. I'm happy to go back and look, but my view is I have paid all the taxes required by law. I don't pay more than are legally due. And frankly, if I had paid more than are legally due, I don't think I'd be qualified to become president. I think people would want me to follow the law and pay only what the tax code requires.
My view is that I paid.
Wow, his laughter is getting panickier, isn't it? I have to go back and take a look at the light.
Every time he opens his mouth about this, he sounds a lot more guilty.
Uh-huh.
The point is, you let other people look at it.
I love when Romney surrogates explain how when Romney saved the Olympics with government money, he's an American businessman hero.
Yeah.
And when the president saved the auto industry with government money, he's a Kenyan socialist. Exactly.
Yeah.
Kelly Ayotte.
When Salt Lake City was in trouble, Mitt Romney stepped in, served his community, and let's face it, he had to go in there and clean up somebody else's mess.
With
it was
government
not
money.
A sure thing.
Doo-doo.
There were financial scandals. He went in, he served his country. Salt Lake City was a success. America was proud. And now we need someone to clean up Barack Obama's mess, and Mitt Romney's the person to do it.
No, Obama's cleaning up George Bush's mess.
Thank you. I know.
God, they act like he never existed.
She just blamed Obama. She's being a little blamey there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you think?
Don't look backwards, look forwards.
Speaking of Romney surrogates, Governor Wanker of Wisconsin.
I think the mistake that they've made is this feeling like it can just be a referendum on the president. And certainly a part of it for any incumbent's got to be a referendum on do you like or dislike not just the president but his policies. But there's got to be something more than that. People won't just vote somebody out. They want to vote somebody in.
Right.
Honestly, who's voting for Romney? Nobody.
I kind of agree with Scott. Yeah. Walker there?
Wanker?
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's not like they don't have a plan. It's not like they don't have something they're running on, and that is voter suppression. Whoops! Somebody said it out loud. State Representative Mike Terzay in Republican of Pennsylvania.
Voter ID, which is going to allow Governor Romney to win the state of Pennsylvania. Done.
Right.
Oh! Ho! They're not supposed to say that out loud.
What? That almost sounds like hung.
Wow. Okay.
Can we hear that again?
Wow. That's the part
voter
you
ID, which is going to allow Governor Romney to win the state of Pennsylvania. Done.
Wow. Check. They just admitted election fraud.
Yeah.
Check.
Wow.
Okay.
Keeping
then.
Likely Obama voters away from the polls.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of illegal.
Wow.
Check. Done. Did it.
Oh, wow. Did you see Dick Cheney on the TV there?
Yeah. On the ABCs this week?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Uh-huh. He said, I haven't felt this good in years.
God.
He
sounded a little weak, though. He did.
He said he doesn't know who gave him his new heart.
I feel happy.
He says he doesn't know who gave him his new heart, but he said there's a program that allows an intermediary to reach out to the donor family to see if they want contact with the recipient. At some point, I would be, certainly amenable to contact with the family, but we have not at this point exchanged any information. Can you imagine if it's a flaming liberal family? It's just we gave our heart to well, good. He also, no regrets. Very comfortable with what I did, why I did it, how I did it. Asked if he had any regrets. Not really.
Not even shooting your friend in the face?
Nope.
Okay.
He also, he didn't spare fellow Republicans. He said, Sarah Palin, big mistake.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like Governor Palin. I've met her. I know her. She's an attractive candidate. But based on her background, she'd only been governor for 2 years. I don't think she passed that test. Being ready to take over. And I think that was a mistake.
And his spawn this morning, not Mary Cheney, Liz Cheney, came out and said, I disagree with my father. I think that Sarah Palin is more qualified to be president than Obama and Biden put together.
Absolutely.
And then she called her father the best vice president we have ever had.
Who can't agree on that? that?
Good God.
Cheney also added about getting bin Laden. A lot of that intelligence that laid the groundwork for blah, blah,
oh,
blah,
shut
blah,
up.
Was all the programs we put in place.
Push shut down the bin Laden unit.
We did that. All right.
God. That whole family.
Yeah. Okay, Lynn in Texas. Hey, Lynn, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just was going to say, my husband, I was speaking to the guy who answered the phone, and my husband and I are very much at odds about guns. Now, I don't mind him having them, but he's got like a whole safe load of them. But he does hunt. But we are in agreement about one thing, and that is that he does not think that it is necessary to have weapons that empty a clip of 100 bullets in like 10 seconds.
Yep, yep. And you know who thinks that a lot, Lynn, is military vets that I've talked to. They're like, even the military doesn't have 100-round drums.
Well, he put 20 years in as a pilot, and now he's a pilot for Southwest Airlines.
Oh, wow.
So, but he does hunt. I mean, he goes to Africa and everything, mm-hmm. and I don't like waking up and having all these animals staring at me. But I figure it's better than...
You better not go to Stephanie's house, then.
They're alive. My animals are alive.
I know.
Oh, no.
When you wake up, you got your dog staring at you.
She lives in a house of creepy mounted heads. All right. Let's see. Lots more to get to here. By the way.
What?
Bitchface, Eric Cantor.
Oh, yes. Your impression...
Who is this mudcat person?
Your impression of him Saturday night was awesome.
That's hilarious.
Brought the house down.
What did you say to Wayne Powell on Friday? I would debate you, but I have to go to Montauk.
Yeah, it was
hilarious. Something from Bitchface, yeah.
Yes, something from the Tumblr. He was asked about Michelle Bachmann's recent warning that the Muslim Brotherhood is infiltrating the U.S. government.
Yep.
He declined to join other Republicans who distanced themselves from that crazy Michelle Bachmann.
Wow.
He said, if you read some of the reports that have covered the story, I think her concern was the security of the country.
She's part of that Muslim sisterhood.
Yeah, so I guess you hate America and don't care about a security unless you're with that crazy Michelle Bachmann. How about that?
Wow. Yeah. Unless you claim that Keith Ellison is a part of the Muslim Brotherhood, like she did.
Yes.
Wow, is she dumb.
Okay, Jeff in West Virginia. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, Moogs.
Hey.
How you guys doing today?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, can I become the official hillbilly of the Stephanie Miller?
You know what? We have been needing one for 8 years now.
Go ahead.
All right. Hey, I'm going to talk about these assault rifles. Man, we do not need these things in this country. And even if the ban was still in place, this guy could have still got those guns because the ban only stopped the importation of those type of weapons. American manufacturers could continue to make them, such as Colt, Smith & Wesson, Springfield Armory. So, I mean, this goes deep. And I'm ex-Army, and we never fired our weapons fully automatic. When we were on the rifle range, it was semi-automatic, those 20, 30-round clips.
Yep.
And I know what they can do, man. I mean, we just need to get rid of these things. I'm in West Virginia where everybody hunts.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, that is a way of life. If you don't hunt, they don't consider you a man here, which I don't hunt, so I guess I don't know what the hell they talk about.
You sound like a lot of man to me. All right, 45 minutes after the hour.
By the way, Not in the Face on Twitter says at least Romney's yarmulke didn't have a propeller on top. So there's that.
Okay, 45 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
I think your show is absolutely vulgar. I think it's sad. We're
all
trying
right.
to raise kids to be
and
respectful.
I'm,
there's
oh,
no
see.
Way you're adding to it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Aha, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by Turn to Help. There are different ways to get help for opioid dependence. Find them at turntohelpnow.com. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Albert writes, Saturday at the Pantages, awesome show. Y'all were on fire. You, Jackie, and Lily were gorgeous. By the way, Lily Tomlin, gorgeous, spectacular.
Yep.
There's, we put pictures up, Stephanie Miller Show Facebook and Twitter.
That's right.
Gorgeous. Let's see, as for showing your cooter, no worries. As an old man in the front row, I won't have to recharge my pacemaker now for a good 5 to 10 years. P.S., please thank Ron Hartenbaum, the guy that owns the show.
That's right.
He's trying to kill us for the life insurance money. He treated us like royalty, us being in the Willie Nelson ticket holders.
Oh, very cool.
He made the night spectacular. Okay.
Okay, because
this is
okay.
good.
Okay, put on the Willie Nelson cowboy hat, because you're playing the role
but
of Willie tonight.
Don't smoke any ganja. Because...
And that's exactly how he sounds. We're not making that up at all.
Couple other letters here. Let's see who this is from. Brian. Oh, Brian and Kathy were there.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Y'all look smoking hot. Blah, blah, blah. We all had a great time. You're all fun, entertaining. Oh, we saw Jim. We did see Jim in the lobby on our way out, but didn't want to impose. We do think he's a fantastic talent. Do appreciate his esoteric, even nerdy references. Being a bit esoteric and nerdy myself.
Aw.
Jim. The esoteric nerd of the stuff you're talking. All right. Oh, by the way. Oh, wait a minute. One more.
Oh.
We got to put these. We got to put some listener pictures up. You remember George? I got to meet George, the official luxury vehicle of the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's right. I got to meet him too.
He's in a wheelchair, and he and his brother, still trying to recover from Saturday night at the Pantages. You, John, Hal, Lily, Rob, Chris, Jim, and Jackie were all fantastic. The meet and grow made the night even more special. Photo. They're going to use that for their Christmas card.
Really?
Me and the official luxury vehicle of the Stephanie Miller Show, George. Yeah, it was awesome. Thank you, everybody, for all the kind notes and all that. All right, so, wow, I also watched Olympics for entertainment over the weekend.
Yeah, I watched more than I thought I would.
Ann Romney's Olympic dressage horse rider claims the sport is not as elitist or expensive as some claim.
No, it's not elitist at all.
No, very everyday.
Mm-hmm.
Rafalka's rider says the sport is not especially financially taxing and is something anyone can do within a normal budget.
Normal budget?
Sure.
$30 gajillion?
Yeah. He went on to say that anyone can take riding lessons, and purchasing a horse is not prohibitively expensive. Okay.
Wow.
Really? Really? Okay.
You know, you have to feed them.
And you have to stable them, too.
Yeah.
That's not cheap.
How weird it would his horse rider is just as out of touch as the Romneys are with the average person. Sure. That's right on the list of stuff. Okay. Yeah. Strip clubs in Tampa, they're getting ready to for the GOP convention.
Yeah. Family values.
The headliner that week, Jim, guess who she resembles? An uncanny resemblance to a certain ex-governor from a wilderness state.
That's shocking.
She's a dead ringer for her, says the co-owner of the dollhouse.
Well, not really. I've seen her picture.
Not if she has that voice, because that'll make them just recede right back up inside. You know what I'm saying? Just give me a match.
Also, too, you betcha.
Okay. Guys and gals.
And gals.
All right.
Yeah.
Tampa's well-known strip clubs have joined the welcome wagon. An informal survey of convention business in New York and Denver has determined Republicans drop much more money at the family values party.
Mm-hmm.
The owner of 2001 Odyssey said when the Promise Keepers, the male evangelical group, came to town years ago, business was rollicking.
I bet.
Yes.
That's
the Bible thumpers.
Promise keeping right there.
Like them some bars. Yes, they
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. David in St. Louis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, David.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Great. I'm a retired union iron worker, and I can't understand with Romney's trip to Poland, he's going to meet with the guy who unionized the shipyards when he's such a union hater and a job killer.
Yeah.
That kills me. And then we're getting harassed constantly by Republicans on the telephone with these ads mm-hmm. and all this kind of crap. It's making me sick. I'm ready to change my number to 314 Eat Poop.
867-5309.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, look, it's Billy in Texas, everybody. I don't feel like it's jingle. Okay. Hi, Billy.
Good morning again.
Good morning,
Hi,
Billy.
Hi, Billy.
Listen, guys, again today you're misrepresenting the problem that conservatives have with Eric Holder.
Oh, yes.
It's not about
it's
him.
It's because of Fast and Furious, which started under George Bush. Yes.
Holder suppression issue. It's about his obstruction of Congress.
Yes.
And his obfuscation of the malfeasance of his lord and master.
Yes.
Barack Obama.
Well, thank God Daryl Issa has also subpoenaed the head of the Justice Department under Bush, where the program was started.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Shut Billy up.
That and my finger.
Well, yeah, you got rid of
that and my hanging up finger. This finger works, too.
It's supposed to be theater of the mind.
Roops.
Yeah, you're giving away our secrets.
Sorry. Oh, thank God we can go back to our lives. The Modern Family cast is back on board.
Well, that's good. They deserve more
money. They settled their dispute with several key cast members. Yeah, every time I go to an event, I see Jesse Tyler Ferguson. He is so nice.
He is awesome.
Give him a big bag of cash, please. So they got pay raises. They're all back at work.
I wish someone would pay us our residuals for Wolverine and the X-Men, which they haven't done.
Feel free to work out your personal issues on air. That's fine. We pause now while Jim Ward conducts his contract negotiations on air. Okay. All right. Katy Perry on the internet, she wants the internet to be turned off. And she said this on the internet.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Really?
She decided the amount of time people are spending on the web having a harmful effect on society, which is everyone would step away from their computers and talk to each other in person using her online Twitter account.
Yeah, that's...
to spread her anti-web message. She said, someone please pull the plug on the internet. Does it really make us better humans? She has almost 24 million Twitter followers.
Seems to me that's
a Twitter message.
Yeah. The internet is an enormous promotional tool for her. So
one would think.
Okay, then. Great.
All right. Oh, Jennifer Lopez has absolutely no control over her twins. Isn't that adorable? They're running amok on her tour.
I know many children like that.
Thank God the children that Hal and John have spawned are too young to come and wreak havoc at places like the Pantages.
Yeah.
Max and Emmy, both four, have been running around amok backstage while J-Lo rehearses for her sold-out concerts, wrecking equipment and providing a general nuisance to stagehands.
Hmm.
They've been breaking expensive equipment and making life difficult for everyone. It's a miracle they haven't been electrocuted because the lighting systems are very dangerous.
Oh, wow.
And by the way, union electricians I've found from playing all day, they love it when you touch their stuff.
No.
Fooling around. What does this thing do over here?
What are you doing fooling around with wires backstage?
I'm not. I'm
okay.
What's this do?
Yeah, that's dangerous for you to fool around with wires anywhere.
What the hell's this do? Hey, I know one thing. I need to get a rider. I don't ask for anything.
Right.
If it's sexy liberal, what do I get? Nothing.
You get nothing.
Mariah Carey.
You get nothing.
In the past.
You lose. Good day, sir.
In the past, her demands have included 20 white kittens, butterfly-shaped confetti, baskets of puppies, white roses, and a tea service for eight.
Isn't that Bachelor, the Bachelorette?
I don't.
Movie,
I don't know.
I don't know.
All right, that's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris, Jim, T-Bone, our new associate producer, everyone in the current control room, including Courtney in that blue dress.
Damn.
See you tomorrow. Damn.